Welcome to the Astrology University podcast, helping you find insight, inspiration, and meaning through the study of astrology. And now, on to the show. Well, hello, and welcome to the May Astrology Forecast. Today, I'll share tips for navigating the major aspects, including declination aspects. I'll also share some dates for timing important actions this month. Check out the accompanying blog post at astrologyuniversity.com for a full list of the major aspects and dates this month. If you're brand new to declination and you just want to know what it is, check out my YouTube video, What is Declination? All right, with that, let's get started. Well, this month is a transition month as we take in the last of the Jupiter-Uranus in Taurus vibes and get ready for Jupiter to move into Gemini starting around May 25th. Jupiter and Uranus still have some energy to share with us this month on the way there. We start the month with Jupiter and Uranus in an exact parallel on May 1st, and they'll remain really well connected until Jupiter moves into Gemini when a new story begins. I recorded a separate video and podcast about Jupiter conjunct Uranus last month, so check that out for more details. Well, I'm just back from teaching about this amazing pairing in Europe, and we had such a great time and definitely embodied the energy too. On April 24th, while this transit was close to exact, some military horses broke loose in central London, and then a few days later, some zebras escaped while being transported in Washington State in the United States. Well, these are certainly minor events, but they do reflect a classic Jupiter-Uranus energetic of breaking free from restriction, or a moment where the tension comes to a peak and then releases after a period of limitation. Maybe some of you can relate, especially if you have planets near 21 degrees of the fixed signs, Taurus, Scorpio, Leo, or Aquarius. Well, May kicks off with a strong blend of Aries and Taurus energy, punctuated by Mars being in Aries while Venus is in Taurus and both planets in rulership. When a planet's in rulership, we can think of it as having access to its own resources, but another way of thinking about it is that there's a clear channel for the expression of its energy. The sign tells us something about that planet's style, and when a planet's in rulership, its style matches well with the planet's agenda. Venus in Taurus might prefer the simple or comfortable life, while Mars in Aries has plenty of energy for taking action or boldly moving forward. Getting back to some of the longer-term energies, Neptune is moving into a crucial new degree as it hits 29 Pisces for the first time in its current cycle on May 4th. In this so-called critical degree, Neptune will start to have the vibe that it's cramming for an exam, as it conveys the feeling of having a limited amount of time left in that peak unicorn state. And peak unicorn is a fun image for Neptune in Pisces that Vanessa Montgomery shared with us a few years back. Well, Neptune in Pisces has correlated with an increase in conspiracy theories for sure, and it was during this cycle as well that we got the phrase alternative facts. Well, we're not quite out of the woods with all of that just yet. When Neptune moves into Aries next year and Saturn makes a conjunction at the same time, it seems we'll all have to sober up pretty abruptly. I'll be talking about this a lot more as we wrap up the year. For now, just aim for channeling the best of Neptune, which could be choosing to spend time in the zone, whatever that means for you. Seek out altered states that help you feel connected to something bigger than yourself. Just make sure to choose healthy ways to get there. If you have planets in the late mutable signs of Pisces, Virgo, Gemini, or Sagittarius, it's important to work some Neptune time into your routines right now as a way to be intentional with it. On May 8th, Mars in Aries will form a contraparallel with Neptune. It's separating from Neptune, and Mars is in a different sign, but the contraparallel tells us that there's a little bit more of a connection there than meets the eye. I'd mark this as a day to be sensitive to mixed messages when it comes to your ego actions or drives. Mars in Aries tends to be pretty clear about what it wants, but there could be a background energy on this day that also needs to be taken stock of, and it might not be obvious at first. Try to get more clarity with others or wait a few days if you're sensing something in the field that gives you pause. Well, Venus is the star of two super conjunctions this month. First with Uranus, when it will be conjunct and parallel around May 18th and 19th, and then with Jupiter, when it will be conjunct and parallel around May 22nd and 23rd. When Venus makes that conjunction to Uranus, it's already in range of applying to Jupiter too, so really it's drawing all of these energies together. And Venus is bringing sweetness and opportunity for connection here, but it mixes in with that breakthrough or potentially rebellious energy of Jupiter and Uranus being together. Well, this could be a good time for bridge building regarding new initiatives that we might be a part of, or just adding some general ease to this mix. Venus in Taurus gives us access to some grounding, centering energy here, even if it's only for a couple of days. And if you've felt a bit possessed by the excitement of Jupiter and Uranus, you'll know that this is a very welcome addition. We could also see women's issues take center stage around this time, so watch out for that as well. Well, going in another direction, we still have a maximum containment feeling this month because the planets are mainly grouped together, except when the moon leaves the pack. The peak of this maximum containment this month is May 1st to 8th. Check out last month's video for some thoughts about this chart pattern. The only out-of-bounds planet this month is the moon, and it will be out-of-bounds from the 9th to the 13th in Gemini and Cancer, and then again from the 24th to the 28th when it'll be in Sagittarius and Capricorn. Now, being out-of-bounds heightens the energy of the moon, so you might want to watch out for May 11th when the moon is out-of-bounds in Cancer and squaring Mars in Aries. Now, this aspect is quick, but sensitivity might be heightened this day. So if you get upset with somebody, take a beat and ask for some space before responding, and then check in with yourself. Ask yourself, what's yours and what's theirs? Resist the temptation to lash out right away and check in first, and that might be easier said than done. Describe your own experience when you do connect and ask where that person's intentions were. If you can avoid blame and instead just describe how you're feeling, you're setting yourself up for a healthier conversation, especially if they can also show up with that intention. Well, before we wrap up, I want to talk about some good days for important actions, and we have some good ones this month. First, the moons in Taurus and Cancer are always good choices to start with, and right now, especially so, because both of them make helpful aspects to Jupiter when they're in those two signs. When the moon's in Taurus this month, May 7th and 8th, Venus is also in Taurus, so you can get charts with the moon applying to Venus in Taurus as well. Well, that's pretty beneficial, and it speaks to some lovely support, but also some steadiness coming through Taurus. Only some, though, because Jupiter and Uranus are still there in Taurus, and then the Sun is right between all of them. Well, that's five planets in Taurus. The only thing to consider here is that the moon is balsamic on the 7th, and then the new moon follows right after. And many electional astrologers suggest waiting at least 12 hours after a new moon to take an important new action. Now, if you do that, you can still just barely pick up that moon applying to Jupiter on May 8th in your electional, and you'll still have Venus in Taurus in that chart. I mentioned the Venus-Jupiter super conjunction on May 22nd and 23rd. To use this in an electional, you'll want to stick with May 22nd with the moon in Scorpio, because after the moon goes into Sagittarius on the 23rd, the moon's last aspects aren't the greatest. But more importantly, the Venus-Jupiter conjunction starts to separate, and for electionals, we want to catch the applying aspect. The Venus-Jupiter conjunction in Taurus is really strong on the 22nd, so capitalize on that opportunity if you can. Explore the ascendant signs Libra, Taurus, Sagittarius, and Pisces to find a good fit for your action while Venus applies to the conjunction with Jupiter. The parallel stays in range all day, making this a super conjunction. Well, that's it for now, and thanks for listening in, friends. Check out the calendar at astrologyuniversity.com/events for our upcoming events, like our webinar on the 8th House of Mysteries with Jessica Murray, or exploring planets in rulership with Kelly Surtees as part of a new series. All of our webinars are available to stream afterwards with lifetime access after the presentation. If you're a planner, save the dates September 6th to 8th and consider joining us in Colorado for a mini conference called Under the Shadow of the Moon, where you'll get to sit with Demetra George, Kelly Surtees, Mark Jones, and Lynn Bell as they explore some really interesting dynamics related to the moon. All right, well, that takes me to the end of this month's forecast. I hope you're able to make good use of the planetary energies this month. And until next time, take good care. Thanks for tuning in to the Astrology University podcast. I'm the founder, Tony Howard. Head over to astrologyuniversity.com, where you can find webinars and courses to help deepen your study of astrology. Study with some of the best astrologers in the field, and check out our diploma program for those of you interested in working professionally or in developing the skill to analyze charts for yourself, your friends, and family. Hope to see you in class soon, and until then, take good care.